Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show with Dad's Point of View. You can email me at bruce@bruceallen.com or follow me on Twitter at Bruce Allen. We have a special guest today for the first time and possibly again. We have Professor David E. Weber, who is an associate professor at University of North Carolina, Wilmington in the Department of Communication Studies. He earned a PhD in communication from the University of Denver. David has worked in the field of organizational development since the late 70s. Projects have enabled David to live and work around the world for clients such as Disney, the U.S. Marine Corps, Xerox, Frito-Lay, General Motors, U.S. West, and Hochest, I'm not sure what that one is, and many other large and small firms in both the private and public sectors. David has been an award-winning teacher and researcher at the university level since 1996. In his courses, he blends theory with practical solutions concerning communication challenges facing organizations. And I might add, he is the longest friend I have had for over, we have known each other during six decades. Hello, David. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Bruce. How you doing today?
Is it six or seven decades? I never quite know how that works because it was the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s,
yeah.
90s, 10,
well,
it's six.
Seven.
What
you do is just start counting from the 10th year. So after 10 years, that's one decade. 20 years, two decades.
That's too much high math. Is it six or seven? It's a long time.
It's a long time.
It's a long, long time.
Since nursery school.
Yeah, since nursery school. In fact, who called it nursery school? I mean, who calls it nursery school anymore?
It's now
preschool.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and you have to apply to get in.
I've heard this.
Yes.
I've heard this.
And in some places, there's high competition.
Oh, I know. I've heard of parents who enroll their kids literally the day after or the day that they're born.
The whole thing is incredible.
Yeah.
Well, David, we have had an ongoing dialogue, you and I, about college and what takes place at college. I have been, whether you call it brainwashed or just convinced by some of what I've read, that there's a very liberal bias present on a majority of colleges. You have occasionally countered that and taken issue with me. But in my recent and current column, the 10 elementary differences between men and women, I do assert that why are there so many women's studies departments? And I had put no men's studies departments. And I believe you had a comment that you put on my website, and I'd like your response to that.
The whole issue of women's studies as a academic field of study emerged in the late 60s, early 70s, in response to the absence of attention paid to the impact and influence that women had in various human endeavors, sociologically speaking, organizationally speaking, etc. And I think that in the 80s and then into the 90s, the question that you're asking was asked in universities. Many people in universities were saying, well, why don't we start doing some men's studies programs so that we can make sure that the man's point of view or the man's experience of various endeavors is looked at and taken very seriously. So
so what happened?
The programs were started. The programs endure.
Do they compare on any level with women's studies as far as numbers?
What do you mean compare? Do you mean compare in terms of popularity or compare in terms of content?
I mean compare in terms of just statistics. Are there as many men's studies as women's studies? Are there as many majors, women's studies majors, as men's studies majors?
My guess is that women's studies majors would outnumber men's studies majors. But, you know, you have to realize also that approximately 50% of all undergraduate students are female now. That's if not more. 50,
I thought it was more, actually.
Yeah, it could be more. I mean, it well could be.
Okay, but if that were the case and it were in quotes equal, then that would mean 50% of women of it would be about half and half. It'd be about half in men's studies and half in women's studies. And you're acknowledging that it is probably disproportionately women's studies over men's studies.
Yeah, I think most students in women's studies programs are female. Not 100%, but most. Students in women's studies programs are female, and probably the explanation about why so many women's studies and why so few men's studies, or why there wouldn't be that many men in women's studies programs, I think that women are perhaps more interested in exploring how their experience of life has affected the choices they make and how women have or have not been taken seriously in the past, whereas men perhaps are just not as interested in looking at that with respect to their...
Well, I would suggest that that's maybe the case in a small number of the women's studies majors, but I would also suggest that there's a lot of angry women that are running those departments and that are in those departments that are angry at men. And I believe, from what little I know about some of these departments, that partly drives the agenda and the curriculum. How men have done this and how men have done that and how men have oppressed women. And while historically, obviously, some of that's true, I think there's a certain amount of venom that goes with it that's not healthy.
I've never taken a women's studies course. I know a number of women's studies professors. I'm actually friendly with the director of the women's studies program here at UNCW and North Carolina.
Wow,
and,
fascinating actually to have her on as a guest. Wow, I would love to talk to her.
That's a possibility. Yeah, that's a possibility, yeah. I'm sure. But what I was going to say is I can't talk about this from the inside because I don't know it as an insider. I think that it's entirely possible that anger, venom, indignation, any of those kind of emotions, to a greater or lesser extent, fueled some of the original women's studies programming. That's certainly possible. That would have those emotions would have grown out of a recognition of decades or centuries worth of dismissal of women's experience.
In the same way that the civil rights movement started out with a lot of anger.
I think any kind of movement that revolves around people basically saying, we want you, the larger society, the larger community, we want you to take our experience very seriously in a way that we don't think you have taken it seriously before. We want you to take our point of view, our perspective on life, on history, on events that happen. We want you to take that seriously in a way we don't think you've done it before. And, you know, you're going to have a certain percentage of people who are going to be marrying that with some anger, some indignation. And you're also going to have people who are not necessarily going to have that emotional valence placed on that desire. I think that, you know, whether or not that's present now in women's studies programming, I really could not honestly say it's true across the line. I know many women's studies professors at this school. And by the way, we don't have a women's studies department per se. We have a kind of a cross-curriculum women's studies major that you can do. So you take courses in sociology, psychology, communication, poli-sci, et cetera.
David, let me interrupt you for a minute because we're almost out of time.
Oh, okay.
I want you just in 10 seconds or less to give me your feedback about the idea of the Marine Corps bringing women to the front lines of combat.
When you say Marine Corps, you're talking about a very specialized institution, a very specialized culture, a very masculine culture. I would proceed with some caution, but I also would suggest open-mindedness.
Okay, that's a pretty political answer. I'm not quite sure what you mean, but I want to talk to you about that in more depth.
Yeah.
I really think that's a fascinating topic. We are out of time, David.
Okay.
It has been fabulous having you on as a guest. I would like us to do it again.
And, I'd love to do it again.
Thank you so much, David, and really good to talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We will be back with, I hope, Jim Scheinberg. I'm waiting to see the phone light up for Family Financial Matters after these messages. I'm gonna try with a little help from my friends. Do you need anybody? I need somebody.